right, welcome back to the Defender. That's right, host Mike Fulbright, and going over this adventure, really, the life of, and got Jacob T. Anderson, and we're following him. And when we left him last time, he was about to go into the building and be shown where his room is. So let's kind of catch up with that and see what's happening. All right, so. Jake looked inside the door. He opened the door there, and Landis had already shown him where his room was. And so he opened the door, and he looked inside, and he said, thanks, man. And Landis said, no problem. He said, I'm going down to the break room for some coffee. So he turned around and left, and Jake stood there outside the door for just a moment, then pushed it open slowly. It creaked. He sort of peeked in around the corner. The 12-foot room by 12-foot room had a single bed on the far wall, very small desk, a tall standing clothes closet, and a chair. He turned his head and looked down the hall, then turned his head back to his room. He hesitated a little bit, not sure he wanted to go in, but he went on in anyway. And immediately he smelt some mustiness in the room. Of course, the room hadn't been used for a long time. So he goes on in, closes the door, and starts setting up his room there. And he opens up his duffel bag, and the first picture he pulls out, of course, is his wife and family, and he gets it on the table. And then he pulls out his rebel cap that he always wore. He's known for that cap. As a matter of fact, when he was a kid, he used to wear it all the time, and his mama called him Reb. So he finished unpacking, and he just kind of got relaxed a little bit there in the room. And then later that evening, he decided he wanted to get further acquainted with his new home, so he got up from the bed and went to the door. He stopped, hesitated, then opened it, and of course, with those rusty hinges seeming to strain under the pressure, it creaked as loudly as before, and Jake thought, there's no way in the world I'm getting out of here without anybody knowing it. So he stepped out into the long hallway and stopped. Smelling the coffee, he looked to his left and saw the open area at the end with some men gathered around a table. A group of four were playing cards, probably spades, he thought, the favorite game of cops. He went down to have a cup of that coffee. A staff sergeant at one of the tables was reading a book and could see down the hall. He looked up when he heard the door open of Jake's room and saw the new sergeant step out, stand there for just a second before walking toward him. He immediately got up and walked toward him. Jake saw him and stopped at the entrance of the room. He stood there, just looking around. The sergeant that met him had a strange look on his face, and Jake could see that he was looking at his head and back through his eyes. And so Jake was kind of pondering what the sergeant was looking at. And then he realized he still had on his rebel cap. And the sergeant asked him, said, I guess that's authorized clothing there, and you must be Sergeant Anderson, I presume? And Sergeant Anderson, of course, said, yes, that's affirmative to both questions. And he smiled and put his hand out. Well, Griffin said, we heard you was coming to join the herd, so welcome aboard. Come on in, and let me introduce you to the squad. Jake nodded and followed him into the room. My name, by the way, is Jerry Griffin, but you can call me Griff. Over there at that table is Senior Airman Hathaway, Airman First Class Pierce, and Airman First Class George. They are my fire team. At that table right there is Mr. No Humor, No Expression, Staff Sergeant Howard, with Senior Airman Clancy and Airman First Class Hammer. Over at the far table is Sergeant Walter, Senior Airman Jennings, and Airman First Class Rebouser, and the kid. And last but not least, sitting at the table all by his lonesome is Sergeant Parker. Jake looked slowly around again, just to get a feel of what he was looking at. Then he said out loudly, gentlemen, may I have your attention? Everyone turned to look at him. He looked at their faces, and he knew they were young and had never been in a firefight before, not something real anyway, only in practice. And so he knew by virtue of that, that if the real thing were to happen, they would probably freeze not knowing exactly what to do, or they would be shooting in the just shooting and not knowing what they're shooting at. So he thought about that. And he said, let me give you some information. My name is Technical Sergeant Jacob T. Anderson. I'm a Ranger. I am your new squad leader. Ranger? That's interesting, Sergeant Parker said softly as he looked at their new leader. Jake heard the remark and turned to look at him. That's right. I said Ranger. And with that, I have an announcement. We are going to war. Captain says it ain't so, Pierce said, looking at the others. Jake looked at Pierce and the others as well, and it seemed that they all agreed. So I take that no one has heard the last intelligence report? Intelligence report? Griffin said, laughing. No such thing. Well, it looks like our illustrious captain is keeping this station in the dark. That is unacceptable. Let me give you an update on the latest info from COM. When he finished, everyone looked like they had just been brought into the light. Okay, now let's get back to where we are now. I suspect that everyone here has been trained for combat. Am I correct in that assumption? Hammer asked, do you mean airbase ground defense? Yes, airbase ground defense, Jake said, as he looked at each one of them. I think we have been, at least I have, Clancy said. Well, if you have, when is the last time you at least practiced it? As far as I know, the only time we ever put it into practice is during the base exercises. Howard said that, and everybody looked at him. That's right, Griffin said, looking at Jake. At that, Jake knew that these men were so far behind the power curve, it was ridiculous. If they were going to have the slightest chance of survival, he was going to have to use every trick in the book he knew and push them as hard as he could to get them combat ready. And with only 25 days until the North attacks, he was going to have his hands full. Jake cleared his throat. Gentlemen, I know you have heard what the captain has said, but let me make this as clear as I can. We are undoubtedly going to war, and this hill, being this close to the DMZ, is a target to be taken out. The enemy that's going to be coming up that road will not stop at anything to accomplish their goal. Killing is their game, and when it comes to that, especially with the North Korean Special Forces, who I believe you will be in direct contact with, they won't hesitate. They are considered to be the deadliest warriors. They are ruthless and care nothing about you. They won't stop to ask about you or your family. They will have no mercy on you. So when it comes time for you to kill them, do it. If you don't make them die for their country, they will surely make you die for yours. Your team, as well as the life of your friends and this station, will depend on what you do. I'm going to push you as hard as I can, so teamwork is going to be essential. Parker came to mind. As a team, there is no room for a lone wolf. If you are of that mindset, you will not see it necessary to listen to me. And if you're not listening to me, you're going to get me killed. And believe me, that is not going to happen. You let that all sink in. Another thing, I am a Christian, and asked if you respect that. He looked around at each face. George spoke up. Being a Ranger and all that, Sergeant, I think it only fair to ask, have you ever been in real combat? Yes, I have. War, combat, killing. I have been in a number of engagements, and I know a few things about the subject and the action. I know how to use the different weapons, both ours and theirs. You can see the looks on their faces, and the look suggested they were a little apprehensive. Fear, he said. Anybody in here not afraid? The only person who raised his hand was Parker. Jake looked at him. Well, for those of you who are afraid, let me tell you that it is okay. Fear is normal. We are going to be in a shooting war and people are going to die. And the best way for you to do your job is to get dying out of your mind. And don't worry about it. I know this may sound a little hard-hearted, but if you think of yourself as already dead, you will do your job as a soldier, and that will be killing the enemy, without remorse, without regret. Are there any more questions so far? Yes, I have one, Hathaway said. talking about killing. How can a Christian kill someone? I mean, doesn't the Bible say, thou shalt not kill? Jake looked at his name. Well, Mr. Hathaway, how can a non-Christian do the same thing? If you knew anything about the Bible, you would know thou shalt not kill means murder. How do you know I'm not a Christian? Well, logic would dictate. I mean, it stands to reason you are not because you asked that question. Anyone else? No one else said anything. Okay, let's talk about time and training. How many of you have been in at least 8 years? All but three, raise your hands. As asked before about combat training, how many of you have been to air base, ground defense, or bullets, or dicks? Everyone raised his hand. Very good, Jake said. After I meet with the lieutenant tomorrow, and as soon as I get my gear, we are going to start training. I expect everyone to give 100% from the fire team leaders on down. Are there any more questions? None came. Good. I want everyone assembled in here tomorrow afternoon. Everyone dismissed except the fire team leaders. And we're going to stop it right there, and we'll catch up the next time around when Jake talks to Howard, Walter, and Griffin. So good to have you here. Welcome, like I said, to the Defender. I hope you're enjoying the podcast. I'm enjoying myself as I do it, and I hope you're listening to it with intent. And thank you so much for being with us. And this is Defender, Mike Fulbright, and we are out.